This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Back for the second hour here of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We're going to be talking with Steve Vilnet today. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing very well. How are yourself?
I'm good. How's your what's your title there, Steve?
I'm the Fishery Marketing Director at the Maryland Department of Natural Resources.
Fisheries Marketing Director. Fisheries Seafood Marketing Director, correct? Well,
Fisheries,
that's your main goal. Main deal is seafood, right?
Correct. I work on both seafood and recreational fishing marketing, though.
Ah, good for you. Congratulations. Oh, yes. I see here this little note that I have says Director of Fisheries Marketing at the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to announce one thing. And, Steve, you didn't know anything about this. Steve Vilnet, Director of Fisheries Marketing at the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, has been nominated as a finalist in the advocacy category as for an award at the Seafood Expo in Asia. And my source is a Seafood Source. Steve Vilnet, my guest this morning, has been a tenacious advocate for local sustainable seafood in Maryland. He's implemented several initiatives during his tenure that have been expanded the market for variously locally caught. I'm sorry, I can't read there this morning, Steve. Responsibly harvested marine species and shifted the focus away from many strained fish stocks and imported products. Steve's hands-on campaign to promote local yellow perch fishery increased the price of that fish and opened up a new market. Steve's approach to combat the invasive Asian snakehead has identified and legalized the most effective harvesting method. What is that, Steve?
Bow and arrow.
Correct. For this hard-to-catch fish. And then fishers then began catching 3,000 to 4,000 pounds of this fish, fostering a taste for the sushi-grade fish among the invasivore community by working with chefs and restaurants. Today, the fish, which at one time had zero value, now sells for $7.50 a pound or more, right? That's for a whole fish, up to $28 a pound. And then catfish is another invasive fish in Maryland, and you have introduced distributors and restaurants to blue catfish as a local, fresh, and cheaper alternative to farmed catfish. First year of the program, sold about 10,000 pounds of blue catfish. This year, the third year, the number of fish is expected to climb between 700,000 and 1 million pounds of fish, selling up to $1 a pound, and I'm guessing that's on the wholesale end.
Correct.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, this award will, if you win, will be what exactly? I know is it called the Seafood Champion Award? Is that what it is?
It's a Seafood Champion Award. It's been going for, I believe it's going for about 8 or 10 years now.
Right. And you were just nominated, I believe, this month, right?
I was, actually about 2 days ago.
2 days ago. Well, congratulations. Did you know it was coming? Did you know it was coming?
I didn't. No, I didn't know it was coming.
Good for you. Well,
definitely a great honor.
Yes, indeed. One of the thousands and thousands and thousands of seafood advocates around the world, and you're one of the three or four finalists in that nomination process. So we wish you well.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right, we've got a caller. He wants to know a crab's relationship with oysters. And being a old waterman there, Steve, I guess you could and being in that business, you could probably tell. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Just fine.
Good. Your question for Steve?
I've heard three or four times from different people, some, I guess, are officials or some not, that crabs eat oysters. And I said, well, that seems to be impossible to me, but a friend of mine went crabbing and was using razor clams for bait in bags. And they did not crush them or anything. They just left them whole. And when they got done, all the razor clams were empty. Well, some of them were anyway. And the shells were intact. Is there any truth to this?
Yeah, crabs are opportunistic. They'll eat just about anything they can get their hands on. We've actually seen aquaculture cages where one crab will get into the cage and they'll pick up oysters and they'll just keep working around the shell until they find a weak spot. And then once they get in, they get the meat and they move on to the next one. I probably would say this is not their top food source, but like I said, they're opportunistic and they'll eat what they can get.
Well, the other thing that I'm involved in, raising oysters, you know, for the bay cleanup. And we have these cages. And of course, all these oysters in our area are getting dumped in onto a bar in the Severn River. And I'm just wondering, if these oysters are there, should there be a high concentration of crabs? I mean, there's hundreds, I mean, tons of oysters getting dumped there.
Well, I think not just for our food source.
It's like we're fighting a losing battle here. You know, we're promoting the oysters, and we like to have lots of crabs, and crabs are eating the oysters and other things.
Mike, let me jump in here. Steve, you still with me?
Hello?
Steve, you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Thought we lost you there for a second. Mike, let me jump in here. I think you just heard Steve say that the oyster is not the crab's number one pick. Oysters and crabs existed simultaneously in the Chesapeake Bay for eons.
Right.
And they still will. So what you're finding there is when you say they're dumping oysters in there, they're dumping the oyster shells there to reestablish the beds.
But these are actually oysters. They have small oysters on these shells. You see, you put them in these cages over the winter and you with spat on them initially, and you end up with oysters about the size of a nickel or a quarter. So there really are oysters they're putting there, not just shells. And this is part of the cleanup thing.
Yeah. I think the bigger threat to the oysters is
diseases, probably.
What's that?
Other diseases.
Other diseases and salinity and lack of salinity and whatever else affects oysters in the Chesapeake Bay and has been affecting them for the last 50 or 60 years. So, but that's just me jumping in. Steve's a seafood expert.
The other thing I wanted to mention, too.
Mike.
Yes?
One thing at a time. Would you let Steve answer the first question?
Oh, I thought he had finished. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Steve.
I think, Alan, you're right on the point. You know, this is, oysters and crabs have been living side by side for forever. And crabs are certainly not going to go after oysters as their first food source. I think the beneficial thing is that you might see as more crabs is that the oysters are actually providing habitat for the juvenile crabs, and also clearing up the water quality so seagrasses can grow. So there's more hiding and more cover for the crabs to live. If anything, you'll probably see more crabs there from the oysters being put in the water.
Right. Okay. The other thing. I'm involved in raising these oysters in the cages that the state provides. But has anybody really looked at the resources required to actually accomplish this? You know, oftentimes you look at it with a little snapshot and blinders on and you say, well, this is really a good thing. But if you take care of these cages, you've got to pull them out of the water every 3 weeks or so. You've got to squirt them down or brush them off and so on. And you use a lot of actual water resources just cleaning the cages. Has anybody ever looked at the whole picture? What benefit is really being accomplished here, taking in consideration the resources that you're using up in order to make these 50 oysters or so start to grow? I mean, I'm all in favor of this, but...
But what you're saying is the juice may not be worth the squeeze.
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm saying, because... I'll tell you, it's a lot of work. And once they take the oysters out in the spring, these cages are loaded with barnacles and all kind of garbage. I mean, it takes a half an hour scraping and power washing to clean the cages back up. Seems that someone needs to look at maybe perhaps something that's better than these wire cages. It's just a lot of work.
Steve, any comment?
Well, I mean, this is not my program, but I mean,
right.
This is, you know, we got to look at that. The oysters provide a huge ecological benefit, and you know, you're right. Maybe we should look at something where we see how much of an ecological benefit each oyster provides, and if that really outweighs the cost.
I think, quite frankly, Steve, this is a program to get the citizens involved and making and hoping that they understand how things happen in the Bay. And, Mike, my only suggestion to you is if it's too much work, abandon the project. Thanks for the call. Okay, Steve, let's talk a little bit about the aquaculture since we're into that a little bit. Tell us about the growth of aquaculture here in Maryland and, you know, how we're doing raising oysters, oyster farming through aquaculture.
It's been an exponential growth, and it's been fantastic. We've gone from just a few farms in the state of Maryland to, I believe, we're over 350 farms are set up now. Again, just for a few acres of water that's been leased, up to nearly 5,000 acres that's been leased. The only, you know, to lease an acre of water is cheap. It's about $3.50 a year if you want to get involved. The only stipulation is you have to put about a quarter million oysters per year into the water.
That's the only stipulation, huh?
It's you can put the oysters in the water, and you can use. I mean, there's of course permits and things like that you have to go through in order to get the areas. But what we want is that people put oysters in the water. We want them to use those leases, and we're seeing that happen. And we're seeing oyster farms pop up all around the state. Guys that are putting in tens of millions of oysters into the water.
Yep. Go ahead.
And, you know, we got to look at this as, you know, the last caller was, you know, we're talking about the ecological benefits of just an oyster. You know,
yeah.
We got to look at the fact that each one of these farms is putting in millions of oysters, and each oyster can filter 50 gallons of water a day. There's a lot of filtration going on that hasn't been going on previously, and we're really encouraging this. And doing trips out to these farms this summer, you can really see the difference that these oysters are making in the water.
Water clarity, absolutely. Sure. Yep.
How many
oyster farms do we have here in Maryland now?
I believe the number is around 350.
Okay.
You know,
and that's over the course of
the past 4 years.
4 years. We've grown from a few to 350 in 4 years. I've actually toured the Hooper's Island Aquaculture Company, who raises the Chesapeake Gold oysters, and walk through the whole deal. They continue to improve as their market share continues to increase, where they actually grow the algae to feed the larva. Then they take the larva and put it in these trays, and they take the trays and eventually move them out to finish as full size oysters, and then they harvest them. And it's fascinating to watch that whole process. And we have 350 of these farms, and
yeah.
You know,
amazing.
Go ahead.
It's just an amazing process that they go through, and it's a labor of love. There's a lot of hands-on labor into it.
Sure.
Not just throw an oyster seed in the water and come back in a couple of years and you have a beautiful oyster.
Right.
A lot of hands-on work that these guys go through. Taking these oysters out of the water, as the last caller said, every 3 to 4 weeks to wash them off and clean them and
sure.
Put them back in the water.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's I will tell you, the oyster recovery program has been a success story. Despite all the difficulties of the natural diseases and things that we have on our oysters. And if I recall, the last two oyster seasons have been pretty spectacular.
Oh, they have. They've been it's been record-breaking years, which is great to see. You know, this could, you know, start to be resurgence of the natural oyster in the Chesapeake Bay.
Sure.
As well as, you know, helping out the efforts with these aquaculture farms. You know, it's a 1-2 punch, plus the Oyster Recovery Partnership really getting involved and putting in, you know, we're talking with the last caller about putting, you know, 50 oysters in a cage. Well, Oyster Recovery Partnership put over 1 billion oysters out there last year.
Right. A billion? Did you say a billion with a B?
Billion with a B.
Wow. Very good. All right, let's take a little short break here, Steve. Hang on the line, and we'll get right back to you here shortly. Let me tell you folks about Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. I'm emailing their web guy right now while we're on the air here. and trying to catch up with him a little bit. The website is ClydeSports.com, and we always enjoy talking about Clydes. We've known Bill and Clyde for a long, long time. They've been in business in Baltimore since 1957, and if it's fishing or crabbing supplies you need, they've got them. They've got the bait, the tackle, and all of the above. But they have the great Kotobo crossbows there for the bow hunter. They sell Parker crossbows and bows. They've got a couple other brands that they sell. They've great Browning firearms, your full-line Browning dealer here in Maryland, and they do a very, very nice business with Browning, all the ammunition, all the other brands, slugs, muzzle loaders from Thompson Center, and more. So why not stop by and see Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 242-6108. Now, if you're heading to the Eastern Shore, I recommend that you stop and see, well, the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and fishermen, and that's Chesapeake Outdoors. That's right. They're located on Route 50 East, just across the Bay Bridge, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road, 39B. You look for that. You make the right there off the exit. Go around the block, and of course, you'll see their green sign there on the right, and you know their big parking lot if you're watching to the right there before you get off the exit. Muzzle loaders and all kinds of muzzle loader supplies, shotguns for dove hunting, waterfowl hunting, you name it. They even have slug guns for you deer hunters. But their big thing right now is bows, Mission crossbows, Carbon Express crossbows, Barnett crossbows, Parker crossbows, and Excalibur crossbows. They also carry the Parker line of compound bows and the famous Matthews Solo Cam line of bows, featuring the Creed XS this year and all the other great Matthews bows. They've got the custom arrows and crossbow bolts and bow accessories, and you name it, they've got it at Chesapeake Outdoors, all the boots and clothing you need, too. And the Bubba Blade knives, if you like to fillet and release. 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500. That's Chesapeake Outdoors. The friendly staff can help you find what you need. Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road. They're open every day. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Congratulations, Buck Bomb, on your 10th anniversary. Buck Bomb works all season long with its downwind full coverage particulate dispersal spray. It's the easiest and most effective deer scent delivery system. Choose Ambush, Doe Pea, or Vanilla Curiosity scent. And Buck Bomb is your choice for the rut. The traditional Doe and Estrus spray is still number one to attract bucks. The detonator is a canister with a wick that holds any Buck Bomb scent. Hang it on a nearby limb and bring the bucks close. When you're done, simply roll the wick into the canister for another day. The no-leak O-ring seal prevents any scent from escaping. Trigger the detonator with the igniter, a 4-ounce bottle of liquid Doe and Estrus scent. This potent combination is your best bet for the rut. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer, order online at buckbomb.com, or call 1-866-850-6653. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart. Increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soil
Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Luskin Solving on Sunday night from 10 to 1 a.m. I'll begin my new once-a-week talk radio show on Talk Radio 680. WCBM, the most powerful names in talk.
So I have a damn good dinner, crab cakes and rockfish too. We thanked the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish, and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his voice, the way he makes his living. I'm talking about the man. Talking about the water man. I'm talking about the man trout, line, and crabs, tonguing oysters, and working the beef. Talking about the man who makes his living on the water every day. I'm talking about the
All
man.
Right. Back with Steve Vilnet, fisheries marketing guy for seafood and Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. So, we talked about aquaculture. We talked about Steve Vilnet being nominated for a Seafood Champion Award on the international seafood market. And let's talk a little bit about HB 913. Hello, Steve.
Yeah. So HB 913 was a bill that was introduced last year.
Right.
Basically, what it was trying to do is let people going into restaurants know exactly where their crab meat was coming from.
Crab meat. Okay. Yep.
So
now, one of your other projects was True Blue,
correct,
which lets consumers know that that restaurant or seafood house or whatever crab shack is using True Blue Maryland crab meat in their crab cakes and that type of thing, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So this kind of takes it to the next step.
Okay.
You know, where True Blue is, you know, it's a certification program that's voluntary, and it just lets you know that people are using Maryland crab meat. It doesn't tell you exactly where the crab meat comes from if you go into any restaurant that's not part of this program. Which HB 913 does is makes it so that every restaurant has to list on their menu the country of origin of their crab meat. So you would have Maryland-style crab cakes, product of Indonesia, or Maryland-style crab cakes, product of Venezuela. And it just lets diners really know where the product is coming from.
Well, I can tell you, getting into some of the places I get into, and you see cases and cases and cases and cases and cases of crab meat coming from Venezuela and others that import from Indonesia. You know, one of the guys in Maryland here is imports and puts a lot of crab meat in cans from Indonesia. We were talking earlier this year, and he said, you know, there's a worldwide shortage of crab meat right now. And so, you know, it's a supply and demand, basically, and wherever you know, wholesalers and distributors can get their crab meat and send it out to the restaurants and the middlemen that serve it to the end user, and that's you and I, consumers, wherever they can get their crab meat, that's where they're going to get it. And, you know, most cases, a diner doesn't know, you know, that's a Maryland crab cake or a Louisiana crab cake or a Venezuelan crab cake or an Indonesian crab cake for the most part. So this bill would say, disclose the country of origin where you're getting your crab meat.
Correct. And we already have it in place in the retail industry.
Right.
You go into a grocery store, they have to tell you where the products come from.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just, you know, this is extending it to the restaurant industry.
Okay.
You know, and this is not only just for people that want to buy local. This is actually the product that comes from Indonesia and China. They're actually a different species of crab. So
right,
we're talking, this is a species substitution that's going on.
Exactly.
And we just want truth in labeling and let people know exactly what they're getting. And there's nothing wrong with Indonesian crab meat or Venezuelan crab meat. It tastes perfectly fine. It's harvested, it's harvested very similar methods. It's the regulations that it goes through, it's just as safe to eat as our crab meat.
Well, sure.
But we want people to know exactly where it's coming from, and they can make the educated choice if they choose to.
I got you. We have a caller on the line. Hang on there. Good morning, Dale in Easton. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Good morning. I want to congratulate Steve on his nomination.
There you go.
Thank you, Dale.
You're welcome. Back in the day when you first came on, I was very impressed with your efforts dealing with yellow perch. So it's nice to see that you're going to get recognized for all your hard work, Steve.
I appreciate that.
Speaking of yellow perch, how was the season this last year?
The season was, I'll say it was weird this past year. We had that harsh, cold winter. And when you normally traditionally see those yellow perch really starting to come in the commercial nets around the second week of February, it just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have been just due to the cold water temperatures. And it pushed it back. So unfortunately, we didn't see much of a yellow perch season, because by the time the fish started actually running, the season for the regulation was over.
Mm-hmm.
So it made it really tough for the guys this year. And I think it wasn't that the fish weren't there. It was just that the fish weren't there during the time frame that the window is for the regulation.
Right. Now, how successful have you been, Steve, with trying to market those fish locally? I know that was, when you first came on, that was one of the efforts you were making to try to, convince Maryland restaurants that the yellow perch was certainly a good fish to be serving.
Yeah, definitely. It's still going strong. We have a couple of our large grocery store chains in this area, such as Whole Foods, are some of our biggest buyers.
Oh, that's good.
And they're having great success with it. It's a great local success story. It's a great little fishery. It's kind of interesting because it's like Copper River salmon. It only comes around a few weeks of a year.
There you go.
It's not something that's around year round. So it's an easy sell in that it's only here for a few weeks. So you just make one big push, and it's all the fish are in the stores and dinners on dinners plates around the state.
How about the restaurant, Steve? Any success with getting some of the local establishments to serve it as a seasonal item?
Hello, where'd you go?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm right here.
Okay. Dale, you still there?
I'm listening.
Okay, I don't know what happened. Somebody went away for a minute. Go ahead.
It's a tougher push in the restaurants only because it's a small fish. Being a small fish, you have to serve it head on. And unfortunately, most diners don't want to see their fish with their eyeballs looking at them on the plate.
That's true.
It's a little bit more difficult in the restaurants, but there are some great restaurants around this area that feature it when it comes in the season.
There you go. Yep.
Well, I know in the Midwest, when they serve the yellow perch, it's just the fillets. They'll fillet that fish and they'll serve it. It's almost like finger food.
Right.
Bars and all. So
yeah.
I didn't know whether that was something that had caught on here, or it was just, restaurants won't serve the whole fish.
Yeah, I think it'll just take a little time. I think, people aren't used to filleting a fish quite that small.
Right.
So I think it'll just take a little time to catch on in that method where, the Midwest, we've always eaten this fish. This is not something that's traditionally been eaten here. Traditionally, this fish was frozen and shipped off to the Midwest for them to enjoy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I just think it's getting diners used to these small fillets, but they're used to seeing these massive fillets of whatever fish it is from around the world.
Yeah.
This is a delicious local fish that's very seasonal, and it's a great product to try.
Cousin of my favorite fish, the walleye. So, Dale, you know what walleye tastes like.
Yeah.
So,
Steve, is that out-of-state market still the strongest, or is it? Have you been able to supplement that more and more with some of the local?
I think what we're finding is that some of the watermen still want to harvest their fish and sell in traditional methods because it's the easiest and the pipeline's already there. Guys that are willing to put in a little bit more effort in terms of looking for that customer base are reaping the rewards. That traditional market is still the lower price fish. Where these local restaurants and retail stores are definitely getting much more money for their product. And if the watermen want to put in a little bit of extra effort to get into those methods of marketing, then they're going to reap the rewards of it.
How about the live market? Is the live market still a viable commodity? Because I know there weren't a lot of watermen involved with the live market, but...
No, I don't think we're going to see much of a live market, only just because the way that the regulation is, the way the fish have to be tagged, they can't right. tag. The fish aren't going to survive once they're tagged. So I don't think we're going to develop a live market there.
Okay.
All right, guys, thank you. We got to take another break here shortly. Dale,
Steve,
I'll talk to you a little later. Steve,
again.
Thank you.
Right.
So hang on there, Steve. We're just going to take a break, and we'll be right back to you. All right. Time for me to tell you folks about Chesapeake Outdoors. That's right, located on Route 50 East, exit 39B. What can I say? They have everything you need for archery, crossbows and bows. They have everything you need for hunting, firearms and shotguns. They have muzzle loaders. They have the outdoor apparel from Drake and Under Armour for outdoor apparel. They have boots. They've got knives, a large selection of knives, waterfowl calls, waterfowl accessories. No wonder it's the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. So all you got to do is stop there. Located at Route 50 East, exit 39B, that's Dominion Road on Ken Island. And check it out. It's a big store. It's lots of stuff to see, no matter what you like from the outdoors. So, and they've covered everything. So check it out at Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Ken Island. If you're looking for something specific, give them a call, 410-604-2500, 604-2500. And the friendly staff will be able to direct you in the direction you need to be directed. Chesapeake Outdoors.
Not a weekend washout, but there will be some showers and thunderstorms out there. Better coverage of storms today after 2 o'clock. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, 93. Scattered thunderstorms for tonight, low 66. Mix of clouds and sunshine for tomorrow, a high 81. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Well-intentioned grandparents putting money into 529 college savings accounts could actually be hurting their grandkids' chances of getting financial aid. Investment managers have pitched 529 accounts to grandparents as a tax-efficient way to transfer cash to grandkids while also helping them pay for college. The problem is contributions to these types of accounts from grandparents are counted as student income. That means a student could miss out on or receive less in outright grants as well as subsidized federal loans. It could even keep the student out of work-study programs. One way to avoid this pitfall is for grandparents to consider transferring the 529 account to the child's parent before making any withdrawals. Grandparents can continue contributing by depositing their funds in the parents' plan. But in some states, grandparents won't get tax benefits from those contributions. If they decide to keep the 529 account in their names, grandparents should wait until the student's senior year to withdraw funds. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
WCBM Baltimore.
Attention diabetics. Is your blood sugar out of control? Nobedis may help dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedis, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day. I love Nobedis because it's an all-natural product, and it works.
While Nobedis isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, it's helped lower many diabetics' blood sugar. Call now for 2 free bottles. Just pay shipping and handling. Call 800-551-9026. That's 800-551-9026.
Hey, guys, if you're into fantasy football, you've got to check out FanDuel.com. At FanDuel, you play in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. You only play when you want, and you can change your team any week. FanDuel's paying out over $10 million every week this season. And right now, FanDuel is giving you up to $200 free. That's right. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. Just go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter code FOOTBALL70. FANDUEL.com. Code FOOTBALL, the number...
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Your favorite talk radio station is now on your iPhone. Go to the App Store and download the new WCBM app. Listen to your favorite host or program. Stimulating talk, breaking news, now on your iPhone.
Steve Vilnet, Director of Fisheries Marketing at the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Steve.
Yes.
We're in the middle of the Maryland Seafood Festival this weekend. And
yeah.
I guess I'll see you down there tomorrow with the grand finale of the Maryland Fishing Challenge. I was honored to have my name in one of the press releases that came out yesterday. I'll be the MC at that event and get to meet all those anglers who were successful and talk about Diamond Jim and the whole deal. So, tell us a little bit about some of the chefs and some of your involvement is going to be at the Seafood Festival.
So I'll be down there all day, both days. We have the DNR tent set up in which we're going to have a chef demo going on. We're going to have four chefs from the region each day, each cooking some sort of delicious seafood from Maryland. They're going to talk their way through the recipe so that you can see how it's made. And then at the end, everybody gets to try to sample whatever they made. And it should be, we're having people do things from crab cakes to blue catfish tacos,
ooh,
a little bit of everything. And,
I'll be there. Blue catfish tacos. Okay, great.
Yeah. I think blue catfish tacos actually kicks off. They're the first one this morning. They're going to be starting at 11 a.m. It's Chef Keith Long from Factors Row in Annapolis making those.
Cool. Very good. Very good. I've been to a couple seafood events that you've been responsible for in Annapolis, and The one that we attended last year was part of the oyster recovery program at the Baltimore Aquarium. It was called Mermaid's Kiss.
Correct.
Yeah, nice event.
That's a great event. It's coming up again this year, October 2nd at the Baltimore Aquarium. The tickets are on sale now. Again, we're going to have some great chefs from all over the region. I think we're featuring 12 chefs this year, including Chef Spike Gerde from Woodbury Kitchen and Brian Voltaggio from Bolt. And as well as 6 oyster farms, so it's all you can eat, all you can shuck for the whole night, and it's a great event, and it raises money for Oyster Recovery Partnership.
Volt, is that in Frederick? Is that the Frederick-based restaurant?
Yes.
Yes.
Although he has restaurants all over D.C.
All over, yes.
In Baltimore
yeah.
now.
Yep, exactly, but I'm pretty familiar with one in Frederick, so cool. Very good. I'll look forward to that event. So, what else would you like to talk about, sir? It's your show, so let's go with what you want to talk about.
I think blue catfish is a great one. We just touched on that a little bit with blue catfish tacos. This fishery is fantastic for the local guys. It gives them a product that they can target that has really no regulations and no seasons, and really we need to get rid of it.
Yeah, blue catfish, big invasive species in the Potomac and elsewhere in Maryland.
Yeah, I think, people often hear snakehead and, they think of that as the big invasive species. And I think the problem we're facing with blue catfish is even worse than snakehead. They're much more prevalent. And, you know, so we've tried to develop a market for them, and it's actually been quite successful. And, you know, it's a double win. You know, the watermen get to go after something and harvest something year-round that is invasive that we need to get out of the water anyways. And secondly, it really gives our native species a break. So they're not targeting those because, honestly, a native catfish goes for less money than a blue catfish right now.
Right.
And so we developed a market for them, and we started out, like I said, with just, you know, 10,000 pounds. It was just a small, you know, one wholesaler brought it in, 500 pounds, and he sold it. And then he brought in 1,000 pounds and sold it, then 5,000, then 10,000. And it's just, it's grown exponentially. We're seeing restaurants all over the area, from hotels to restaurants to catering services, all featuring it.
I met one of the wholesalers at the Oyster's Kiss last year. And basically said, he said, I have standing orders for 2014 for 300,000 pounds of blue catfish.
It's amazing.
I thought
amazing.
That was pretty cool. So
it's fantastic. And, you know, one of our, you know, local restaurant chains, Clyde's Restaurants, they have many locations all over the region.
Yes, they do.
They featured it, and I was told that they used over 100,000 pounds just that restaurant.
Just
chain
that one restaurant. Wow. Good stuff. You know, I don't know. These are basically wild caught fish, and
yes,
can be advertised as such. I don't know. I'm sure you've been to some of those Southern Delta catfish farms, and quite frankly, I'd much rather have a wild caught blue catfish than a farm raised channel cat.
Yeah, catfish.
Based on the way they're raised, quite frankly.
Catfish have a negative connotation of just being a really muddy flavor fish.
Yeah.
Blue catfish, just by the way they feed, and they're different. They're a very clean flavor on them, and they're really good. I've had quite a few of them this year. Like I said, we can have, if you want to try them for yourself, we have the blue catfish tacos going on today at 11 at the Sandy Point.
Sure. That sounds great. Well, we'll be down there tomorrow and see what happens. So, yes, sir. Well, let's see. Is there anything we didn't talk about? We talked a little bit about True Blue. We talked about, the bill that, you're looking forward to seeing in the 2015 General Assembly about labeling the country of origin in the restaurants for the crab meat. We're looking at, the seafood festival and the chef's demonstrations there. We talked about blue catfish. We talked about yellow perch at length. We talked about, oysters and aquaculture. We didn't talk a lot about crabs other than the crab meat thing. And, you know, everybody wants to know what's going on with the crabs. And you and I had an off-air conversation yesterday about the crab season is just now starting to break.
Yeah, I spoke to a few of the young watermen in the area, and they're saying that right now it's been fantastic. The crabs are actually fat, they're large, and they're seeing quite a bit of them right now. We went out and met up with a waterman on the water the other day, and he had caught his limit. And earlier in the season, he said he couldn't even come close to it. He'd have 600 pots in the water, and he'd come home with 2 bushels of crabs.
Yep.
You know, he had fished that day, he had fished nearly 300, and he had already hit his limit. And, you know, that's a good thing to see. You know, that means it's turning around. It could have been that it was just a weather thing with the cold waters, the same thing that impacted the yellow perch, impacted the crabs, and it's just a late start to the season. And, you know, it definitely is concerning, especially for these guys that make their living out there every day, and they're working hard to catch these crabs.
Sure.
And they're not seeing anything.
Well, the other end of that is, you know, all the crab shacks and seafood houses that depend on the traffic during the holiday season. I mean, Memorial Day to Labor Day, you got Memorial Day, then you've got... Well, you've got Mother's Day kicks it off, then you got Memorial Day, then you got Father's Day, then you got the 4th of July, and then finally, you know, at the end, you've got Labor Day, and all throughout July and August, all those family reunions and picnics and crab feasts and fire halls and you name it, everybody's dependent on crab, having crabs. And when you get a season that's just kicking off in September, it's, you know, it's over. So,
yeah. You
know, the market goes south a little bit, and the abundance is there, but the demand is off to some degree. So, you know, I was impressed with our conversation about the kind of the I don't know if it was an informal survey or scientific survey, but the survey you did on the picking houses and their percentage of Maryland picking houses that depend on Maryland crabs, and the bulk of their picking is done not necessarily on, you know, Gulf Coast crabs or you know, Southern Coast crabs, North Carolina and so forth, but the bulk of their picking crabs come from Maryland.
Yeah, they really stress that they try to buy their crabs local, and it's one added benefit. It costs less than fuel to get there, and
sure.
You know, so the crabs are fresher and they hold up better. But you know, we surveyed the whole picking house industry, and we found that 95% of their crabs come from the Delmarva area, so Delaware, Maryland, Virginia.
Yep.
Which is fantastic. You know,
it is.
You know,
they're
supporting local, and they can't buy all their crabs, 100% of the crabs of the time, because in April, they would have been out of business.
I'm thinking that, sure. But I think the thing that impressed me the most is one of the largest picking houses in Maryland on the Lower Eastern Shore does indeed use about 80%, 78% or something like that, Maryland crabs, which impressed me, quite frankly. So
it really is. It's, not only is it the largest picking house, they're one of the oldest in the world. They were formed in 1890.
Right.
And we have... You know, these are businesses that have been standing for a long time, and they need our support. You know, they were hurt tremendously with all the imports coming in. And,
sure.
You know, and we pound consumed in this area from Maryland. It's just not possible.
Right.
The demand far outstrips the
support. Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to see houses, but the 5,000-plus watermen that make their living doing this, the truckers, the people that make the traps, the cages, everything, keeping all these guys in jobs because they support our other industries in the state.
Right. All right. Well, look, we got to take a break, Steve. We'll come back and wrap it up. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If you are into the shooting sports, the 725 Satori Sporting Clays model is now available in 20-gauge. Those of you who've been shooting 10-gauge over or 12-gauge over and under know that this is one of the finest sporting clays firearms out there. And now you can get it in a 20-gauge. And let's talk about the BT-99. Great, great competition shotgun for trap shooters. It's got everything you need. For you waterfowlers and guys that like upland birds and things like that, the A5, the Hump. The Humpback, most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. 100,000 round or five-year guarantee. Earlier I said 10,000. It's 100,000 rounds. And I think you need to see this at Clyde Sports Shop, the A5. That's for sure. And then for the pump guy, the BPS pump, can't get any better. Bottom ejection available in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10-gauge. 12 and 20 gauge rifled barrel deer guns also available in the BPS pump. Check it out. It also comes in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo. Clyde Sports Shop, your full line Browning dealer, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Hunting season's here. Go jump on those Browning deals, and there's some rebates going on right now. Clyde's can tell you all about it. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, 242-6108, 242-6108. And our buddy Russ put the Outdoors and Radio Show all over Clyde's website, and we're very happy with that. And we thank him, Camo Preacher Russ, for all that. So there we go. Clyde Sports Shop, 242-6108 is the phone number.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A.
410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hi, this is Dave Serio. Every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m., the show is called You Ought to Know. Expert information on the repair of vehicles, flea market, and your phone calls. The most powerful names in talk, You Ought to Know. Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Did you see that Kmart had a Christmas ad out already? Yeah, they did. Yeah. Did you see that, Steve?
No, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, they did. They said, hey, you know, we know it's not time to even talk about Christmas yet, but if you're having a, you know, a lot of birthdays in your family, you know, at like all at one time, it's time now to go put those gifts on layaway, you know. It was pretty good marketing. Pretty good marketing. So that being your area of expertise, you can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Indeed. So I guess you're headed to the seafood festival here very shortly.
Yeah, we're going to get down and get the chef tent set up so that the first demo goes off without a hitch.
There you go. Well, I'll be meeting with Joe Evans today at 10 o'clock at Taws, and we're going to do a dress rehearsal, walk through the fishing challenge script, and look forward to meeting all the anglers there tomorrow. So I hope some of our listeners are going to show up at Sandy Point that have the Angler's Award, and we'll get to meet them face-to-face. And, Steve, I'll probably see you there tomorrow as well.
I'm sure we'll save a sample for you.
You know what? Blue catfish tacos would be just fantastic. All right, buddy. Thanks all for right. joining us, Steve. I'm glad we were able to talk this morning, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks. Have a great day.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. There goes Steve Villanette. Hey, folks, we had four people join the Maryland Hunting Coalition while we were on the air. Get out, stay safe.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide.